The Easter story is all about wondrous love.
And it begins with a triumphant procession.
The Easter story reminds us of a Father who loved us so much that He was willing to sacrifice His only Son to provide a means for us to be forgiven and reconciled to our Creator.
The Easter story is a story of love that we can never comprehend.
A love we cannot ever earn.
And yet is showered on us.
The Easter story is about sacrificial love.
A kind of love that most of us can only catch a vision of in this life.
Mark tells us that Jesus, the miracle worker,
Jesus, the healer,
Jesus, the deliverer,
entered the city of Jerusalem in triumph.
Everyone had heard of his teaching.
Everyone had heard of his amazing power.
People left their homes and their work to see this Jesus in person,
to welcome him,
to touch the hem of his garment.
They believed that Jesus would gain more and more support and would eventually overthrow the Roman government.
He would be their Messiah.
They spread their cloaks
and leafy branches
on the ground to make a pathway for him to enter the city.
Some went ahead of him and some followed.
And they called out,
"Hosanna,
Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord."
Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was a reason to celebrate.
Jesus, the carpenter's son, was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy for the people.
Today, Jesus, the Lamb is God, is the fulfillment of our own vision of God's presence with us.
And of God's gracious offer of loving forgiveness.
Thank you.
The hymn writer prays, "Oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire."
We pray with him that our own love for Jesus will be more than words.
That it will be realized in the way we live our lives.
In the way we use our talents, our energies, and our resources.
And in the joy we share with those around us.
The Easter story begins with a triumphant procession and ends with a shout of victory.
But in between those two joyful events, we experience the depths of fear and despair and betrayal.
Mark tells us in his gospel that 2 days before the Passover, trouble was beginning.
Jesus was causing unrest among the people.
He was dangerous to the status quo, and something radical had to be done.
The chief priests and scribes met and launched a plot to arrest Jesus and to kill him.
How ironic that it would be Judas, one of the disciples, one from the inner circle, who would step forward and offer to betray Jesus.
Judas met secretly with the leaders of the local government and made the arrangements, and then he sat back to wait for the right time.
It was the feast of Passover. The disciples gathered in an upper room to celebrate.
In the midst of dinner, Jesus looked around the table. The disciples grew silent, waiting for him to speak.
He sighed wearily and finally announced, "One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
Jesus knew very well what was in Judas' heart. Jesus knew that he was destined to die, and soon.
Later that evening, Jesus broke the bread and said,
"Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
It was midnight in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Knowing what lay ahead, Jesus knelt and prayed.
Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me.
But it was not to be.
On that same night, he was arrested in jail.
Questioned and whipped.
And finally, the next day, he was sentenced to die on a cross.
Through it all, he would not speak to defend himself.
Jesus carried his own cross up the hill to Golgotha, where he was crucified between two thieves.
His disciples, in fear for their lives, had all fled.
And only the women, Mary his mother, Mary his aunt, and Mary Magdalene, stayed until the bitter end when Jesus finally cried out,
"It is finished."
The sun of heaven will rise again.
When Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. A centurion who stood by was moved to say,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
Jesus had breathed his last. His disciples had fled. His followers were in despair. The promised Messiah had let them all down.
Why hadn't he saved himself? What had happened to his miraculous power?
Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council and a follower of Jesus, went to Pilate and boldly asked for Jesus' body.
Pilate gave his permission, and Joseph took Jesus' body down from the cross and tenderly wrapped it in linen and laid the body in his own tomb.
On the third day, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body.
The sun had just risen, and the dew was still on the grass when they came to the tomb and discovered to their surprise that the stone which had sealed the entry had been rolled away.
The soldier who was to guard the tomb was mysteriously absent.
And an angel sitting on the right side of the tomb said to them,
"Do not be alarmed. He has been raised. He is not here."
We can only begin to imagine the joy the women felt to hear these words. Surely they must have cried out,
"Hallelujah! Hallelujah!" Hallelujah.
So this is the Easter story.
A story of wondrous love.
And a risen, victorious Savior.
But the Easter story is more than that. It's a story about contrast. A story about celebration and mourning.
Joy and sorrow, betrayal and loyalty, darkness and dawn, defeat and victory, death and new life.
It is a story about God's ability to turn something terrible into something wonderful.
The Easter story gives all of us a reason to rejoice.
For most of us, Easter is a time of joy and celebration.
New clothes, Easter lilies, Easter baskets, Easter bonnets, and family dinners.
It is interesting to note that in Mark's Gospel, the story ends with these cryptic words.
They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
How can Mark dare to leave us with fear and silence after such a victorious ending?
Perhaps because Mark wants us to remember that suffering, even after it has passed, has the power to leave us fearful and silent.
Suffering changes us.
Suffering changes our perspective on life.
Suffering reminds us of the power of evil and pain.
Suffering reminds us that we are weak and mortal.
But the love of God is greater than any suffering or any evil that can happen in life.
The love of God is a wondrous and incomprehensible love.
A love that encompasses each of us and all of us.
A love that can forgive the worst that any and all of us can do.
And thanks be to God. Because of that love, God has the last word in all things.
And the last word for God's people is
Hallelujah.